طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد. So the hadith of today, the first hadith from the collection of 40 hadith from Imam al-Nawawi. عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال. On the authority of the leader of the believers, Abu Hafs Umar, the son of Al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه, who said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات. I heard the messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام say, indeed actions are but by their intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And indeed for every single person is what he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So he whose hijrah, migration, is for Allah and His Messenger, then his hijrah is for Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. And as for he whose hijrah, whose migration is for the dunya in order to acquire it, or a woman to marry, then his hijrah, his migration is for whatever he migrated for. رواه إمام المحدثين أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم ابن المغيرة ابن بردزبة البخاري. This is the name of one of the collectors of hadith, commonly known as Imam al-Bukhari. وابو الحسين مسلم بن الحجاج بن مسلم القشيري النيسابوري. This is the name of another Imam, the one that is commonly referred to as Imam Muslim. He is another collector of this hadith. في صحيحيهما اللذين هما أصح الكتب المصنفة. They collected these two ahadith in their sahihs. So they had collections of ahadith. One of the collections of both of the two muhaddithun authored were the sahihs, you could say, to be brief. Imam al-Bukhari, he has a collection that we call the Sahih, meaning all the ahadith that he considers to be Sahih in that collection. Imam Muslim, he has another collection of ahadith called the Sahih. All the ahadith according to him and his conditions that he deems to be Sahih are in that collection. So this hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been collected in these two collections of ahadith that are the most authentic books ever authored. طيب, so Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, his explanation to this hadith can be divided into 9 parts. The last part, as we mentioned before, is a summary of the benefits that are extracted from the hadith. So this hadith here, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, indeed actions are by their intentions. This hadith here is in reference to, no doubt we know that actions, for an action to occur, it has to have an intention behind it. For an action to be called an action, as is commonly understood, the person has to have intended it in the first place. Otherwise, as Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, he says in his explanation of this hadith in Umdat Al-Ahkam, otherwise, if it's the case that an action occurs without intending it, you move your hand, without actually intending to move your hand, you look around, you look somewhere, without intending to look, then that isn't really called an amal. It's not really called an action. that there is similar to a sleeping person, or a person that is insane, crazy, lost his sanity. When a sleeping person or an insane person acts, he's not doing it willfully, he's not doing it with a conscience, he's not doing it with a niyyah, he's not doing it with an intention. When a sleeping person turns around, it's not the case that he intended to turn around. My son sometimes is lying next to me after I put him to sleep. He turns around and he whacks me with his hand. It's not the case that he intended to hit me. That wasn't his intention, but it's an action of a sleeping person, or vice versa. It's the intention of a, or it's the action of a sleeping person. An action that occurs without niyyah. So therefore, that is something that we all understand. But what this hadith is referring to is the niyyah as far as the manwi, yani as far as the manwi is concerned, the thing that is intended is concerned, the action is concerned, the intention concerning the actual action that you do. And likewise, the intention for the manwi lahu, for the one that you're doing the action. This hadith here, it's bahth, it's discussion, it is about what? When it's saying niyyah, that is in reference to the action itself. What is the intent behind the action that you did? What is the intent behind the action that was done? And likewise, the one for whom you did the action, what was the, or who was it in, who was the action for? Again, the niyyah in this bahth here, in this topic here, in this discussion here, it's in reference to two things. Niyyah, intention concerning the action, what was I actually intending? What was my intent in terms of this action? And then we'll, via the sharh of this hadith, the explanation of this hadith, we'll have some more elaboration upon what this point is in reference to. What was my niyyah concerning the action? That's one thing. Number two, who was I doing the action for? So that is the bahth of this hadith. That is the topic that this hadith is in reference to. طيب, so now as far as Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad's sharh is concerned, the first part. The first part is a very brief discussion or a brief explanation concerning the isnad, the chain of narration. So Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he says, أخرجه البخاري ومسلم وأصحاب السنن وغيرهم. This hadith has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and أصحاب السنن, the collectors of the Sunan. When this term is used, when we say Bukhari, we know who that is in reference to. When we say Muslim, we know what that is in reference to. When this term is used, the authors of the Sunan, the compilers of the Sunan, what is this term in reference to? The four books of Sunan. Who are the authors? Anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody besides Adam, who was attending Abu Mu'adh's lessons on Mustalah al-Hadith? Just name me one. Doesn't have to be in order. An-Nasa'i. Tayyib. Sheikh Ismail. Abu Dawood. Fadl, Yaqi. Ibn Majah, At-Tirmidhi, طيب. So when we say Ashab al-Sunan, the authors of the four, the authors of the Sunan, that is in reference to the authorships, the specific authorships of these four Imams. And likewise, others besides these six scholars of Hadith, collectors of Hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, and the Ashab al-Sunan, other collectors of Hadith have also collected this Hadith. وقد تفرد بروايته عن عمر علقمة ابن وقاص الليثي وتفرد به عنه محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي، وتفرد عنه يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري، ثم كثر الآخذون عنه، فهو من غرائب صحيح البخاري. So this hadith, only Umar, as far as the companions are concerned, the tabaqah of the companions, the level of the companions, only Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is reported in an authentic narration to have heard this from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And then from Umar, it is only Al-Qamah ibn Waqas al-Layfi that heard it from Umar. And then from Al-Qamah ibn Waqas al-Layfi, there is only Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi that heard it from him. And then Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi, it is only Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari that heard it from him, nobody else, only him. After Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, many, many, multiple people, multiple narrators ended up narrating it from him. When a narration has only been narrated by one person, anywhere in the chain of narration, if it's at the level of the companion, or from those that narrate from the companion, or the level after it, or the level after it, up until it reaches Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim. If anywhere in that level, in the levels of that chain of narration, there's only one narrator, what do you call that type of narration? There is a term that the ulama of hadith give to a narration where at least once within the chain of narration, there is just one narrator. More specifically, because Khabar al-Ahad is of different types. Gharib Ahsant. So this hadith here, and a hadith similar to it, they are called a hadith, يعني they are the gharaib. A hadith that is gharib. It doesn't mean that it's inauthentic. It's just a classification as far as the number of narrators that are found at any given level of the chain of narration. But the point is that this hadith is classified as a gharib hadith. And this hadith, that is a gharib hadith, a hadith that has somewhere within its chain of narration, just one narrator narrating it from his sheikh. This hadith that is gharib is the very first hadith that Imam al-Bukhari began his book Sahih al-Bukhari with. First hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And likewise, the last hadith also in Sahih al-Bukhari is a gharib hadith. Just like this is a hadith on gharib, then likewise, the last hadith in Imam al-Bukhari is a sahih, is a hadith that is gharib, and that is the hadith of Abi Huraira, كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ. أكمل. Complete. ثقيلتان خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. So this hadith, the hadith, the translation of which is two statements. كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن. Two statements. Beloved to the ever merciful. Light upon the tongue, heavy upon the scales. What are those two statements? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. If you say this statement, it's easy to say it on the tongue, but it's going to be heavy if you say it sincerely for the sake of Allah on your scales, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this hadith here is likewise a hadith that is gharib, and it is at the end of Imam al-Bukhari's Sahih. So that was a brief discussion that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, he goes over, concerning the chain of narration and the hadith and the collection of the hadith. And that's the first part of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad's explanation. Second part. The second part of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad's explanation to this noble hadith is in reference to the great amount of importance that the scholars have given to this hadith. in their authorships, in the books that they've written, in the treaties that they've written, in the collections that they've compiled. The second part of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbas' explanation is in relation to the great amount of importance that the ulama have given to this hadith whenever they have written a book or compiled a book. So concerning this, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, he says that Imam An-Nawawi obviously starts his collection of 40 hadith with this hadith. Likewise, a great amount of scholars have begun their books with this hadith. And now Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, he gives us some examples of those scholars who have authored books commencing with this hadith, beginning with this hadith. From them is, who can give me an example? Give me an example of one scholar besides Imam An-Nawawi that begun his book with this hadith, innama al-a'malu binniyat. One scholar, put your hand up if you can think of one scholar that has written a book or compiled a book. Raise your hand if you know the answer. I just want to know who's been paying attention so far. Not to put anybody else on the spot. Doesn't mean that if your hand hasn't been raised, that you haven't been paying attention. But just to see who knows. Fadal ya akhi. Which other scholar began his book with this hadith, besides Imam An-Nawawi? Imam al-Bukhari. Ahsan, jazakallah khair. Obviously, we mentioned a few minutes ago, Imam al-Bukhari began his book with this hadith. Okay? So Imam al-Bukhari, in his Sahih, begins with this hadith. Likewise, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, he authored his book, Umdat al-Ahkam. Umdat al-Ahkam, with this book, Umdat al-Ahkam, it's like the book that you study before Bulugh al-Maram. He began his collection with this hadith. Likewise, Imam al-Baghawi, his two books, Masabih al-Sunnah, and his other book, Sharh al-Sunnah, he began those two collections with these two ahadith. Likewise, Imam al-Suyuti, his book, Al-Jami' al-Saghir, he began it with this hadith. And likewise, Imam al-Nawawi himself, in another book of his, a book that is called Al-Majmu' fi Sharh al-Muhadhab, a book which is an explanation of Shafi'i fiqh. In that book, Imam An-Nawawi has a section entitled Fasl fi al-Ikhlas wal-Sidq wa Ihbar al-Niyya fi Jami' al-A'mal al-Bariza wal-Khafiyya, section concerning having sincerity, having truthfulness, being conscious of one's intention in all of your acts, in outward acts and inward acts. So he has this title in this book of his. After he writes this title, he then quotes three ayat from the Quran. And then, which hadith does he quote? He quotes this hadith here, innama al-a'mal binniyat. And then after that, Imam An-Nawawi, he said, hadithun sahihun muttafaqun ala sihatihi. This is a hadith, and its authenticity has been agreed upon. يعني, there is consensus upon the fact that this is a hadith that is sahih. وَمُجْمَعٌ عَلَىٰ عِظَمْ مَوْقِعِهِ وَجَلَالَتِهِ. Likewise, consensus. All the scholars, they are united upon the fact of this hadith having a great station. Having a great station and nobility in our deen. And then Imam An-Nawawi, he said, وَهُوَ إِحْدَى قَوَاعِدِ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَوَّلُ دَعَائِمِهِ وَآكَدُ الْأَرْكَانِ. This hadith here, this hadith that so many of you have memorized, some of you read it today, This hadith here that children have memorized. This hadith here, it is one of the foundations of Iman. It is one of the supports of Iman. It is one of the most emphatic pillars of Iman. The most emphasized pillar of Iman. And now Imam An-Nawawi quotes a statement of Imam Al-Shafi'i. Imam Al-Shafi'i, he has a famous statement concerning this hadith. What does Imam Al-Shafi'i say? Imam Al-Shafi'i, he said, يَدْخُلُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فِي سَبْعِينَ بَابًا مِنَ الْفِقْهِ. This hadith, Imam Al-Shafi'i said, this hadith enters upon 70 different chapters of fiqh. 70 different chapters of fiqh. Meaning, Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr, Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr, he is the son of the author of this commentary. Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr, he is the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Badr, in commentary or in commenting upon this statement of Imam Al-Shafi'i, he said most likely what Imam Al-Shafi'i is trying to say here, is trying to indicate by using the number 70. This hadith enters into 70 different chapters of fiqh. يعني الكثر. He's trying to indicate how this hadith enters into so many different fields of fiqh, so many different fields and chapters of fiqh. Why? Because no doubt this hadith is about what? Essentially ikhlas, sincerity. And sincerity is required in every single act of worship. Every single act of worship, it is a requirement for there to be ikhlas in it, for it to be accepted. So therefore, Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Badr, he said in commentary upon this statement of Imam al-Shafi'i, that this hadith enters into 70 different chapters of fiqh, i.e. what Imam al-Shafi'i is trying to indicate, that this hadith enters into so many, look how many fields of fiqh this hadith enters into. Then Imam An-Nawawi, he quotes another statement of Imam Al-Shafi'i. And that is what? This hadith is a thuluthul ilm, a third of knowledge. And likewise, others besides Imam Al-Shafi'i have made a similar statement. Then Imam An-Nawawi, he says, وَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْأَحَدِيثِ الَّتِي عَلَيْهَا مَدَارُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَقَدْ اُخْتُلِفَ فِي عُدِّهَا فقيل ثلاثة وقيل أربعة وقيل اثنان وقيل حديث. So this hadith, إنما الأعمال بالنيات, actions are only by intentions. This hadith, it is the hadith that Islam, it's one of those ahadith that Islam revolves around. How many are those ahadith that Islam revolves around? Imam An-Nawawi, he said, some have said, they've tried to count, how many are those ahadith that Islam revolves around? And this goes back to the ijtihad of that scholar, ijtihad of that researcher. So some, based upon the ijtihad, have said it goes back to one hadith. Some have said it goes back to two. Some say it goes back to three, some to four. So if it is like, but this hadith, whatever that number may be, whatever the number of a hadith that Islam revolves around be, whether it's one or two or three or four, regardless of the number of the hadith that Islam revolves around, this hadith for definite is amongst them. So if it's the case that Islam, it revolves around two ahadith, then this is half of it. If it is the case that a scholar says, based upon my research, Islam revolves around three ahadith, then this hadith is a third of it. If a scholar says based upon his research or based upon his definition that Islam revolves around four ahadith, then this hadith is a quarter of it. Imam An-Nawawi, he then says, وَقَدْ جَمَعْتُهَا كُلَّهَا فِي جُزْءِ الْأَرْبَعِينَ فَبَلَغَتْ أَرْبَعِينَ حَدِيثٍ لَا يَسْتَغْنِي مُتَدَيِّنٌ عَنْ مَعْرِفَتِهَا لِأَنَّهَا كُلَّهَا صَحِيحَةٌ جَامِعَ قَوَاعِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي الْأُصُولِ وَالْفُرُوعِ وَالزُّهْدِ وَالْآدَابِ وَمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. So now Imam An-Nawawi, he says that he now has compiled those ahadith concerning which it has been said Islam revolves around this hadith. Those ahadith about which it may have been said this hadith is a third of knowledge, half of knowledge, and so on and so forth. These type of ahadith, I have gathered them together and they have reached 40 ahadith. Have they actually reached 40 ahadith exactly? No, how many ahadith? 42. But as is the custom amongst the ulama, that they round it off. So these ahadith have reached 40 ahadith in number, and no mutadayyin, no religious person, or as we say in common language, any practicing person, no religious person is, no mutadayyin, no religious person, is free of having any need of knowing about these ahadith. Meaning every single person that calls himself mutadayyin, practicing, religious, devout, and so on and so forth, no religious person every single religious person needs to have some type of awareness about these ahadith, understanding of these ahadith, because all of them are authentic, and all of them they are collective concerning the principles of the religion, the beliefs of the religion, the furu', the subsidiary matters of the religion. These ahadith, among them are ahadith that speak about abstention from the dunya, speak about mannerisms, speak about good character, and so on and so forth. وَإِنَّمَا بَدَأْتُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَأَسِّيًا بِأَئِمَّتِنَا وَمُتَقَدِّمِ أَسْلَافِنَا مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمْ. He says, Imam An-Nawawi, that the reason why I've begun with this hadith is why? Following the footsteps of the scholars that came before me, the imams of this deen that came before me. وَقَدْ إِبْتَدَأَ بِهِ إِمَامُ أَهْلِ الْحَدِيثِ بِلَا مُدَافَعَةَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ أَلْبُخَارِي صَحِيحَهُ وَنَقَلَ جَمَاعَةٌ أَنَّ السَّلَفْ كَانُوا يَسْتَحِبُّونَ إِفْتِتَاحَ الْكُتُبِ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَنْبِيهًا لِلطَّالِبِ عَلَى تَصْحِيحِ النِّيَّةِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِجَمِيعِ أَعْمَالِهِ الْبَارِزَةِ وَالْخَفِيَّةِ. So again, he mentions the fact that we have already come to know that the Imam of the people of Hadith, the Imam of the people of Hadith, without exaggeration, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, he begun his collection with this Hadith. And likewise, it has been reported from a great amount of people that the Salaf, those that came before him, used to love beginning their books with this hadith. Why? To alert the seeker of knowledge about rectifying his intention and making sure that he intends by it nothing other than the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He intends by his actions, inward and outward, nothing other than the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he cites a statement of Imam Abu Sa'id Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi. Imam Abu Sa'id Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, who said, لو صنفت كتابا بدأت في أول كل باب منه بهذا الحديث. He said, if I was to author a book, I would begin every single chapter with this hadith. And likewise, this Imam, he said, من أراد أن يصنف كتابا فليبدأ بهذا الحديث Whoever wants to author a book, then let him begin with this hadith. And then Imam An-Nawawi, he cites another statement. A statement from Imam Abu Sulaiman, Hamad ibn Muhammad ibn Ibrahim ibn al-Khattab al-Khattabi, who said in his book, Al-Ma'alim, كان المتقدمون من شيوخنا يستحبون تقديم حديث الأعمال بالنيات أمام كل شيء ينشأ ويبتدأ من أمور الدين لعموم الحاجة إليه في جميع أنواعها. This Imam, he said, that our shuyukh, our teachers that came before us, used to love giving precedence to this hadith before anything and everything from the affairs within which the affairs of the deen is begun with. Those that came before us from the shuyukh used to love giving precedence to this hadith before every single thing within which the affairs of the deen were begun with. Why? Because of the absolute need of this hadith, i.e. the content of this hadith, in all of those affairs of the deen. And then he makes a mention, or then Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, in his conclusion to the second part of this explanation, he makes a mention of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. And what is good about Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad's explanation, As we came to know in the previous lesson, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, he mentioned that he is taking his commentary to 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi from certain books, from certain scholars, and from among them was Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. And what is significant about Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and this book here, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi? What's the connection? What's so significant? Muhammad. Yeah, so Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he also added 8 to the collection of Imam An-Nawawi's 42. But something else, the fact that Imam Ibn Rajab authored an explanation to it. And it's a very, very detailed explanation. A very, very comprehensive explanation. Not really suitable for the beginner. However, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad, what he has done here, he's taken some of those nice benefits, important benefits, from Ibn Rajab's explanation, those that are suitable for us, and brought them here. So he mentioned the statements of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, rahimahullah ta'ala, within which he says that Imam al-Bukhari, in his Sahih, he places this hadith at the beginning. Imam al-Bukhari, in his Sahih, places this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, in the beginning of his book, in the beginning of his Sahih, as though indicating by way of that, as though it's a khutbah, مَقَامَ الْخُطْبَةِ لَهُ, أَقَامَهُ مَقَامَ الْخُطْبَةِ لَهُ. He placed it in the place where a khutbah would be, where the introduction to a book would be, where the preface to a book would be. إِشَارَةً مِنْهُ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ كُلَّ عَمَلٍ لَا يُرَادُ بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٍ لَا ثَمَرَةَ لَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Imam al-Bukhari puts this hadith at the beginning of his book, where usually somebody writes an introduction, as an indication, indicating by way of that, that any action and every action that you do, that I do, by which Allah's face is not intended, that action is batil. That action is invalid. That action is fruitless, in vain. لا ثمرة له في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة. There is no fruit to it, in this life, nor in the afterlife. So that is Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad's second part to the explanation. How many parts does Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad's explanation consist of? تفضل يا أخي. Yes. 50. Yes, 50 أحاديث إمام ابن رجب collected in his جامع العلوم والحكم. يعني that's very good. إمام ابن رجب collected 50 أحاديث in his متممة 40 النووي. The other question. What was my question again? How many parts does Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad divide his explanation to this hadith? Put your hand up. Put your hand up if you know. Put your hand up if you know. Fadal ya akhi. Ahsant barakallahu feek. Nine parts to the explanation of this hadith. So that's two parts that we've done. How much time have we spent so far? 40 minutes. Third part, ikhwan, is nice, very tasty. But, as we said last week, it's better to have some knowledge but you retain it than lots of knowledge but then there's too much and you end up forgetting it. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Yes, because obviously there's sisters waiting as well, people online as well, they may have a schedule. So we agreed last week. 40, 45 minutes, I'm scared that perhaps if I start off with the third part again, it might take, 20 minutes or so. Even though it should only take 5, 10 minutes, but you know what I'm like. So, what we'll do here, Ikhwan, is we'll suffice with this. Next week, as I said before the lesson commences, before we go live, we'll ask the brothers to read this hadith again. Those brothers that didn't read it today. Okay? So, Abu al-Harith Ismail will remind me which brothers read it this week, and then next week, inshallah ta'ala, Idris, look at a smile on his face, he won't have to read it next week. However, those brothers that did read to me, إنما الأعمال بالنيات, this hadith today, from memory, then your homework is to memorize the next hadith, the long hadith of Jibreel, يعني the hadith that is commonly known and commonly referred to as the hadith of Jibreel, to read that. But you don't have to read the whole of it. That's going to take too long. But parts of it. I might get a brother to read one part, stop him after a few seconds, and get another brother to complete يعني that faqra, that paragraph of the hadith, and so on and so forth. Okay. So this hadith, the second hadith of Imam An-Nawi, its reading between us from memory is probably going to continue for a few weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks, something like this. Okay. So next week, again, to reiterate, those brothers that did not read aloud from memory had the hadith innamal a'mal bin niyat, next week I will request those that want to, those that volunteer, to read. I'm not going to put pressure on anybody. Next week, huh? No? Okay. Khalas, I'll listen to you in a minute. Eh? And those brothers that did read the hadith of innamal a'mal bin niyat today, then for them, their homework is to memorize the next hadith, and I'll get them to read the next hadith next week. So I believe that is it for tonight. Until next week, wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.